A Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker, Yasmin Yonkers, and Ryan Huang. Replay from Money FM 89.3.
For now, we turn our attention to the World Economic Forum in Davos. We have been seeing images on TV, reporters in Davos. It's very cold there as well. And it got me thinking about breakfast. I would think that, it'd be really nice to have petan chop for breakfast, like century egg porridge.
You're just planting ideas into all our listeners' minds as to what they should be looking for lunch or perhaps dinner.
I saw a chuckle in our guest. I think he's thinking about the same thing too.
Look what you did.
Yeah, look what I've done. So big names in the business world that attended the forum: Alibaba founder Jack Ma, BlackRock chairman Larry Fink, Salesforce chairman Mark Benioff. Other big names, of course, had to cancel their attendance. We've been talking a lot about them.
I mean, US President Donald Trump, for one, couldn't make it. He said that let's focus on the shutdown.
Yeah.
French President Emmanuel Macron, he has his own political issues to deal with. UK's Prime Minister Theresa May, of course, we know Brexit is keeping her back. I'll probably have those good reasons to keep them from attending the World Economic Forum.
But nonetheless, it was still a day of discussions and speeches for those who were there. Things like climate change, the slowing global economy, response from central banks to the possible upcoming recessions, they were all part of the agenda. Today, all that continues.
Right. I mean, we are expecting speeches from world leaders like Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, German Chancellor Angela Merkel, as well as Wang Qishan, who is China's vice president.
We got a good friend of ours in the studio this morning, Jeff Ng, Chief Economist Asia from Continuum Economics. You're going to help us to break down the events of day one at Davos. I know a lot of news is coming in. But to start us off, Jeff, you know, it costs about $37,000 for the lowest tier ticket. That one, you can just attend dinner parties at Davos, networking, right? $800,000 for the highest tier. You're like considered a strategic partner.
The white badge.
The white badge. Are the networking possibilities at Davos really worth that kind of money, in your opinion?
It seems, pretty interesting. It would be good to go.
If money wasn't an issue, you'd definitely be there, Jeff.
Yes, I have been to a few of this kind of international forums, and I think it's a good platform to firstly see both the official stance on what they plan to do in terms of government initiatives for the upcoming years, corporation initiatives, as well as you've seen a lot of companies now participate. So showing a lot of initiative both from the public and the private sectors.
Plus an excuse to use your winter wear as well. Okay, let's talk about day one at Davos. Jeff, you've got your eye on this. What are some of your takeaways from the first day at the World Economic Forum?
Yes, so this year's theme, as you mentioned previously, is globalization 4.0. is shaping a global architecture in the age of the fourth industrial revolution. So I think in terms of how the forum is planning to go ahead, it's trying to find a new world order in the light of all the revolutionary changes that we have seen over the past few years in technology, the mindsets. But there's still a part of the world that still have a lot of traditional habits, still have traditional mindsets. So trying to find a balance between the two. On one hand, I think companies want to find and governments want to find win-win situations. At the same time, nowadays we are finding the trend that even if it's a win-win situation, you want to have both parties win equally and gain equally. So finding this kind of both win-win situation as well as gaining equal benefits scenario is not that easy. So I think having more discussions, more international forums could be useful indeed.
Finding a new world order, you mentioned. The new world order, I suppose, will not be globalization. If we're looking at, if it's anything to go by with the current issues that we're looking at, Brexit, the US-China trade tensions, all that seems to be more, inward-looking, like we want to be more protectionist than anything else. So what do you envision this new world order to be?
I think I see it as a more multipolar one, because we've had, about 50 years of, US-led kind of industrial revolution and the technology boom. Right now, we have a lot of emerging markets like China starting to gain in terms of being technology savvy. We've got, for instance, Asia, where a lot of countries are also gaining in terms of wealth and becoming more affluent. So there's going to be more drivers of growth going forward. It used to be in the 2000s that, for instance, US continued to be the main leader in terms of contributing to world growth. Now China is the biggest, you know, contributing yeah. one third to world growth. So we are going to see a lot of you know, innovations from different you know, countries, different regions. So on one hand, there's going to be some competition. Hopefully, it's going to be friendly. On the other hand, there's also a need for cooperation to get all these gains into and consolidate all these gains. You know, get all this you know, technological revolution as well as progress together.
Jeff, I'd like to get your opinion on this. Mm-hmm. Do such events, right, such massive gatherings of world leaders or mm-hmm. powerful business people, do they actually inspire big changes? Or is it something that gets the ball rolling?
I think it's a bit of both, because you really need a lot of these leaders to show their initiatives, their plans okay. For the year ahead, for the decade ahead, because a lot of this partly government-led, a lot of it is also led by, you know, having companies joining and a bit bottoms-up as well. So I think okay. a good mix of both is actually healthy for various parties.
Okay.
Mm. As we mentioned in our introduction, that we have some of these world leaders who are not present at this year's World Economic Forum. We're talking about Trump, we're talking about Theresa May, Emmanuel Macron, also not there. Would this have any sort of bearing or significance given that they are not present?
Yeah, I think it does reflect the fact that there's a lot of domestic issues that is also conflicting with all the international ones. Because on one hand, you want to have you know, global growth. On the other hand, there's also a lot of domestic issues. So, for instance, in the US, you know, the government shutdown is definitely affecting US economy. For the longer we see the shutdown happening and not being resolved, with the slower GDP growth could be for the first quarter. So that could already start to bring forward our view that growth will start to slow by the 2020 in the US. And I think if you look at, for instance, China growth, the results shown this week has also been quite weak as well, but still showing some resilience. So we're in an environment where there's a lot of cross currents, both from the domestic issues as well as the external ones. So there's a lot to juggle for between all these policymakers at the moment.
We're speaking this morning with Jeff Ng, Chief Economist Asia from Continuum Economics, helping us break down day one of the World Economic Forum. Jeff, we've been dancing around China for a bit. Let's go specific. One of the speakers was Ken Hu, Deputy Chairman of Huawei. Now, he said that the tech sector is suffering the most from this so-called trade war between the US and China. Jeff, do you have an outlook for the tech sector? How's it doing today? What do you expect, at least for the next year?
Yes. So for the tech sector, I believe that we are seeing some, you know, maturity in terms of the growth spurt that's been experienced the past 1-2 years. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think, you know, the impact on Singapore, for instance, I just put out a piece this month saying that the oil sectors are likely to see some improvements in the year ahead, but the non-oil sectors, for instance, in electronics, electrical machinery, I think these are likely to see some stabilization or even some slower growth ahead as the world economy slows, as the product cycle starts to mature, and as major economies like the US, Europe and China all start to see some slowdown.
So you're saying watch out for the oil sector?
Yes, the oil sector is one that I think could benefit, because we've had a lot of volatility in terms of the oil prices, but now having oil prices higher compared to the lows seen in 2015 and 16, we have been seeing some green shoots and some improvements in the oil, offshore and marine kind of industries, you know, those industries that make use of oil products. So having a sort of like better crude oil prices compared to the lows seen in 15-16 does help the sector a little bit.
So those prices are helping. Any other sectors you'd like to highlight that we should look out for?
I think, I mean, going forward for the, you know, the new economy, of course, services is becoming a bigger component in most economies, even China, Singapore, of course, we have been going through the restructuring phase as well, where services has become more important. So, yeah, what I'll be watching out for many economies, including China, will be how the services sector develop over time.
All right, thanks for that. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Our finance minister was there as well.
That's right, and he had a platform to talk about matters as well. He wasn't exactly negative with regard to the trade war. He said it should not slow momentum for the Belt and Road Initiative. So let's get your thoughts, Jeff, on this matter. Your thoughts on whether the Belt and Road Initiative may take a hit?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of, you know, globalization, regionalization, and bilateral agreements. So, I mean, if you look at Singapore's strategy for the past 10, 20 years, we have always been, you know, embracing all three of them. So, I don't see, you know, that changing near term or even in the long term as well. A lot of them could be complementary. So, like the Belt and Road Initiative, I think it's definitely a good ideal kind of scenario where you improve on the connectivity, for instance, between Asia and Europe, and with Singapore part of it, we can stand to gain. But of course, there are issues such as debt issues. There are issues such as having maybe too much interference in terms of some projects here and there that could cause the need for more negotiations and the need for more alignment going forward.
We're speaking with Jeff Ng, who is Chief Economist Asia for Continuum Economics. We're talking about the World Economic Forum. We're done with day one. We got to get into traffic, but coming up, I can't wait to ask you this. I've been dying to ask you about this. IMF cut their growth outlook for 2019. We'll get the thoughts of Jeff in just a while.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.